First of all, wish you all a very blessed and joyous Christmas season. This day we begin 12 days of celebrating the birth of our Lord. And so these 12 days of Christmas, let us keep festival and much thanksgiving to our Lord for all that he has done for us, all that he has given to us. Our Savior is born for us this day. And so we all have reason to rejoice and celebrate the feast of our Lord, for we all are very much in need of his guidance and his help, of his salvation. And so on behalf of all the priests here and all the Society of St. Pius X, I wanted to wish you all a very blessed and joyous Christmas season. During the week, there's some very great feast days that I hope you'll take the opportunity to try to attend Mass. It always strikes me as kind of funny that Catholics in general go to Mass more often on ferial days. We tend to go to Mass during Lent or Advent, but on feast days, when we're out of school, when we could actually go to Mass, we don't. We should take the opportunity to attend Mass during the week if we can. And this week, the Feast of St. John on Monday is a great feast. There's also the Holy Innocents on Tuesday, and then St. Thomas of Becket on Wednesday. But all this week, we celebrate the octave of Christmas, too. So every day this week is a feast of our Lord's birth. If any of you want to have Masses said for your loved ones, you can easily do that by just simply writing down the intention for the Mass. That person you wish to have a Mass said, you could write it on an envelope, for instance. You could just say, you know, please, Father, say a Mass for so-and-so or such-and-such, an intention. And you place inside the envelope your Mass offering, your stipend, which is usually equivalent to what it would cost to feed or take care of a priest for that day. That's what a Mass stipend is supposed to be. The diocese usually sets the amount. Obviously, it's just an offering. You could give an amount of less than that, or even a little bit more than that if you so desire. But just keep that in mind, is when you want to have a Mass said, you just write down the intention on an envelope, and you if you write a check out, the check should be written out to the priest to whom you are asking to say the Holy Mass. I just wanted to mention that to you because at Christmas time, a lot of Masses often are being offered for your friends and for your loved ones. So you can certainly do that and have a Mass said for someone that you care about. It's been very gratifying to me at Christmas time when I've heard from a number of people who have said to their family, oh, I don't wished you to give me anything for Christmas, have a Mass said for me. And I think that's a beautiful thing. That's a wonderful thing to have a Mass said for a loved one at Christmas time. So let us all pray for our family and friends on this great feast day today. The epistle for today, this is the second Mass I'm saying of Christmas. So the epistle for the second Mass of Christmas is taken from St. Paul's letter to Titus, chapter 3. Beloved, when the goodness and kindness of God our Savior appeared, not by reason of good works that we did ourselves, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the bath of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he has abundantly poured out upon us through Jesus Christ our Savior, in order that justified by his grace, we may be heirs in the hope of life everlasting in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the Holy Gospel, which is taken from St. Luke, chapter 2. At that time, the shepherds were saying to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. So they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen, they understood what had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard marveled at the things told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept in mind all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, even as it was spoken to them. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, on this Christmas day, I wanted to begin this sermon by quoting to you from the beginning of the prophecy of Isaiah. And listen closely to these words, because I think they're so fitting for us in our world today. Hear, O ye heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have brought up children and exalted them, but they have despised me. The ox knows his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel has not known me, and my people have not understood. Woe to the sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a wicked seed, ungracious children, for they have forsaken the Lord, they have blasphemed the Holy One of Israel, they are gone away backwards. Now these words, my friend, I quote to you these words because the prophecy of Isaiah in this is being fulfilled once again. Imagine if our Savior was born this day in 2004. All these words of Isaiah are true. I have brought up children and exalted them, but they have despised me. That is, He is the one, our Lord, our Savior is the one who has given us life, who made us. He exalted us by giving us intelligence and abilities to do things and to penetrate the secrets of the universe. He has given us talents and beauty that we might glorify His name and that we might sing His praises in songs of thanksgiving. But instead, we have despised Him. We have rejected Him. And we have glorified instead man. And it seems like the more man knows, the more he rejects Jesus Christ. That is, the more advanced, you might say, our civilization becomes in technology or scientifically, the further we become away from our Lord. Now it seems that very, very few openly will speak of Jesus Christ. Even on His birthday, people will not speak of Him. They instead will remove from public places His image. They do not want to set up nativity scenes in public, even though the only reason we celebrate this day is because of our Lord's birth. This is what we are celebrating, that Jesus Christ is born this day. But the world today, as I have quoted to you from Isaiah, they've despised Him, and they instead set up images of Santa Claus and reindeer so that the children of men grow completely indifferent to Jesus Christ. And the season is so secularized that nary a word is spoken of His birth. And people now say merely, have a happy holiday or season's greetings. They won't even say the word Christmas because you might, God forbid, you might think of Jesus. And so we are fulfilling again the prophecy of Isaiah. The ox knows his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel has not known me, and you can substitute Israel with any nation on the earth. The ox and the ass, they stayed next to our Lord at His birth. This prophecy was fulfilled in that the ox and the ass were near Jesus when He was born, but Israel as a whole did not come to Him, did not accept Him and believe in Him. And when you are at the manger scene, you should reflect on this, that it is happening again, that the dumb animals worship Him and honor Him and serve Him. Of course, they do not have a free will. They always do the will of God. And on His birth, they kept Him warm with the breath of their mouth. But Israel has not known Him. America has not known Him. All of Europe has not known Him. We walk around nowadays with our hearts completely apathetic towards Him. We give Him no warmth. The charity of men has grown cold. We are put on this earth just for a few years to prove our love for Jesus. This is why we were put here, to prove our love for our Lord, so that after a few years here on earth, He could bring us to His kingdom in heaven. and we could warm him, the babe of Bethlehem, by loving him in others, by our works of charity, by our acts of kindness. But as the prophecy said, my people have not understood. And we haven't. The people today think that our life here on earth is about getting things and possessing things. A big house, a nice car, fine clothes and jewelry. None of those things matter. And none of those things can you take with you when you leave this world. That crib in Bethlehem teaches us poverty. The lesson of Christmas is one of detachment from the things of this world. And he himself would say, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This is the lesson he taught from the first moment of his life on earth in Bethlehem to the very end of his life on the cross. He taught us detachment. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They will possess heaven because they did not have or did not desire the things of this earth. And so their reward is in heaven. But instead, what have we turned Christmas into? Instead of it being a lesson of detachment, it has become the complete opposite. It is all about possessing things. And advertisers show nowadays for Christmas these ridiculous things, like people giving each other a Lexus for Christmas. Come on. It's ridiculous. Or giving each other very, very expensive jewelry like diamonds. And they say, oh, this is how you can show your love for each other. No, it's not. That is not showing love for each other. That is showing love for possessions and material things that do not matter. The message of Christmas is poverty. It is about detaching ourselves from the things of this world. Our Lord, our Savior, desires us to be poor. He doesn't want us to have much because he wants us to depend on him. He wants us to turn to him and to beg him for our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. When we have a big bank account or very nice possessions, we tend to trust in those things, and we don't trust enough in God anymore. And so you should never worry when you don't have things. When you feel like you don't have very much money, or you don't have a large bank account, or you go from paycheck to paycheck, just barely making it, you shouldn't worry. Because you are living in a way much closer to the crib in Bethlehem than most people in the world today. When you live from paycheck to paycheck, you are forced to just trust in God and turn to him. Look at Joseph and Mary. They had nothing. Absolutely nothing. They had no house. They stayed in a stable. They had no food. They had no possessions. But did you ever see two people that were happier or more blessed or more rich in grace? No, because they had everything in Jesus Christ. Having him, they possessed all. And so reflect again on the words of Isaiah: woe to the sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a wicked seed, ungracious children. They have forsaken the Lord. They have blasphemed the Holy One of Israel. The more we have, the more possessions weigh us down, the more we seem to God to be ungrateful and despise him. We rejected our Lord completely. This world has turned completely away from him. And they blaspheme his name. If they even use the name of our Lord, they use it for a blasphemy. They speak against him. Or they put him on a level with other religions. as if he's just one God out of many. They blaspheme our Lord continually. Do you see what's happened to America today and to all the world? We have become a wicked generation, ungracious children. We don't appreciate anything anymore. We always want more and more and more things. And really, all you need is Jesus Christ. And so the remedy for this terrible prophecy of Isaiah that's being fulfilled in our generation, the remedy is right there in the crib in Bethlehem. That we should look upon the Holy Family as being our examples. Look at Jesus, that tiny child born for us. He is born into this world, the Prince of Peace, the Son of God made man. And he came into this world completely poor. And he lived his life in this world without anything, completely detached from the things of this world, to teach us that God is all you need. That is all you need in your life. I'm not saying don't give gifts to one another. Of course, continue to give gifts to one another, but do so for the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. You give to one another like you're giving it to him. As the wise men came to honor our Lord, they offered him gifts. And that is the reason to give gifts on Christmas, because you're wishing to honor Jesus Christ. And you're wishing to show your love for our Lord by loving him in other people. And in that way, then, you will be grateful for everything you have and everything that you are given, because you will say that it is done for the love of our Lord. And it won't matter to you what it is that you are given. You will simply look not at the gift, but the love of the giver. And that is what the point of Christmas gift giving is. It is to show love for one another because of our Lord Jesus Christ, because of your desire to love him. And he told us, how do we love him? He said, you do good to one another. As long as you did it for one of these, you did it also for me. And so show your love for one another in gift-giving and in your love and your gratitude towards each other. And in doing so, you'll be honoring our Lord Jesus Christ. But let us never be ungrateful or wicked or desiring the things of this world. Let our hearts always be in the things of heaven. This is the lesson of Christmas. Meditate on these things when you kneel before the crib of our Lord and ask him for this grace to detach yourselves more perfectly from this world, that you might become more attached to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.